Good morning, everyone. Today, I'm going to conclude our series, Dealing with How You're Feeling. You may remember a few weeks ago that Pastor Andrew talked about some different feelings that people have been experiencing during this season of sheltering in place. And I'm going to talk about the feelings of anxiety and fear. Just with the coronavirus pandemic alone, there are lots of reasons that people might be feeling fearful, they might be feeling anxious. But then when we add on the protests and the polarization in our nation, I think that brings a whole nother level of anxiety and fear. You know, we might feel anxious or worried that nothing will ever change. Or maybe we feel too anxious or afraid to speak up as much as we want to really help bring about the change that our country so desperately needs. Today, I want to read the story of a king who faced an unexpected battle that he didn't believe he could face. This story comes from 2 Chronicles 20, if you want to follow along, and it's about Jehoshaphat. He honestly didn't have a perfect track record. He didn't always do the right thing. He didn't always speak up for God like he needed to. But he knew when he was facing an impossible situation that he could turn to God. And I think this is so, honestly brings hope for all of us, because we don't always do the right thing and we don't always speak up as much as we need to, but we also can turn to God in our time of need. So let's read 2 Chronicles 20, 1-17. It's a long passage, but I ask you to bear with me because there's a lot we can learn and glean from Jehoshaphat and the others in the story. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Meunites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is, in Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.' But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." The tone of this passage changes a lot from beginning to end, doesn't it? It starts out with fear and uncertainty, and then it ends with trust in God. And in this passage, I noticed four gets, I'll call them, that we can pull from this story that'll help us to face our anxiety in faith. These gets are get in God's presence, get with other people, get your head right, and get on with it. The first get is get in God's presence. Although Jehoshaphat was alarmed, and some versions say he was afraid, he decided to inquire of the Lord. He knew that he needed to be in God's presence because that was the only place he would find peace and that he would find the wisdom he needed to face such an overwhelming situation. There are many ways to get in God's presence, but I think we can learn so much from the prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed. The first thing he did was to focus on who God is or what God is like. You know, in Jehoshaphat's prayer, he talks about God's power and his might, that God rules over the nations, and that nothing can stand against him. Who is God in relation to your situation? It just so happened, as I was getting ready for this sermon, that I got a fresh reminder of what anxiety feels like and how to work through it, because I just found myself really feeling anxious. And, you know, it was interesting because I've been preparing sermons for a while, and, you know, but I think something about just all the changes with the coronavirus and sheltering in place and having to film my sermons just kind of added to my anxiety. And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to preach on this. So let me just go ahead and do what I'm telling everyone else to do and use Jehoshaphat's prayer to help me. And so I decided to remember the attributes of God that I really needed in that moment. The first was that God created the universe, which shows that God is creative. And the next is that God spoke the universe into existence, which shows us that God created the spoken word. He's the author of it. And that Jesus is the word. So he can absolutely inspire me and show me what to say and help me to understand what everyone needs to hear. So again, I ask you, who is God in relation to your situation? What do you know about God that applies to what you're going through? The second part of the prayer is to recall how God has helped you in the past. What other anxiety-provoking situations has God brought you through? When have you seen God do the miraculous? Or when has God surprised you with his loving care? If you're struggling to remember this in your own life, think about testimonies you've heard from other believers or that you've read in Scripture. This whole story, even the part we didn't read from 2 Chronicles 20, is a great reminder of just how God shows up for his people. The next part of the prayer is present the need and ask for help. Share exactly what you're feeling with God, because God can handle it. Jehoshaphat told God how unfair he thought the situation felt. He reminded God that when given the opportunity hundreds of years before, Israel did not attack these nations that were now attacking them. He asked God to judge those nations. You know, we don't have to pray perfectly pious prayers. We can come to God just as we are. And then it's important that we're specific with what we're asking for. The beginning of verse 12 says, "For we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us." Basically, Jehoshaphat's saying, God, if you don't show up and do something godlike, we're probably all gonna die. And that sounds a little crazy probably, but he was being honest. And then the next part of the prayer is humbly declare your trust in God. The second part of the verse I just read says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And Jehoshaphat chooses to focus on God instead of the problem. And he's showing that he trusts God and he believes that God will help. You know, I read a devotion recently that said the answer to anxiety is not less stress, it's actually more God. And I thought that is so true, and that's exactly why we need to get in God's presence when we're feeling anxious. Because sometimes we can stop what we're doing and do something that just helps us to remember God and feel closer to him, like getting outside, maybe reading scripture or listening to worship music, maybe saying a prayer. And sometimes all you might have time for is to say just a single sentence prayer. But whatever it looks like for you, get in God's presence when you're feeling anxious or afraid. You know, for Jehoshaphat, it wasn't enough to get in God's presence by himself. He knew he needed his community to join him. And sometimes we need that too. And that takes us to our second get, which is get with other people. We see in verses 3, 4, and 13 that Jehoshaphat called the people together to fast, and then that they came from every town in Judah. And then it says again that all the men with their wives and children and little ones came to seek the Lord together. So they absolutely came together as a community. And you know, right now we can't gather in person, but we can still reach out to ask for help. You know, what might it look like for you? Who is someone that you trust that will listen and understand and, you know, maybe sometimes help you see when your anxiety is carrying you away? Or who are some people that you can ask to pray for you? I love to see just how this has been lived out in our community groups ever since we've been sheltering in place, because there's been so many times where people are asking for prayer and that then we have the opportunity to pray together in person and then keep on praying for each other. You know, another part of getting with other people might be recognizing when you need some extra help. This might mean, you know, contacting a mentor or a pastor, or maybe someone else who's a little further in their journey than you are. It also might mean getting in touch with your doctor or a mental health professional. I've heard someone say in regard to this idea that seeking help doesn't mean you're weak. It actually means you're wise. You know, if you are struggling with anxiety, another mental health issue, a relational problem, any of these things, to a degree that feels unmanageable, I encourage you that it might be a good idea to get to seek professional help. And you know, when I struggle with anxiety at times, I definitely try to go to God first. But I also believe that God gave us other people because sometimes we just need a human connection to help us truly let go of the anxiety we're facing. So sometimes I talk to Andrew, sometimes I call or text a friend just to ask him to pray for me. And I found that just talking to other people sometimes helps me get out of my head. And it also can give me better perspective. You know, I remember once I asked a friend in Thailand, or I was telling her just what was bothering me, all these things going on, and she said, "Think less, pray more." And I kind of felt like, wow, that wasn't very empathetic. But when I realized, hey, this is actually great advice, I realized I was getting kind of all of it in one. I was getting the personal interaction, but also being, you know, encouraged to bring it all back to God. We can find a lot of help from other people. And many times others can actually help us do the third get in the sermon, which is get your head right. You know, let me read verse 15 again. It says, "He said," and this is the prophet said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." First, we need to get our heads right regarding the truth of the situation. But I'm not talking about just the details of what's happening. I'm talking about the truth that God will fight for you. You don't have to face the problem on your own. In the story of Jehoshaphat, the battle was God's because an enemy nation was coming against God's own people, Israel. And all of us who call ourselves followers of Christ are chosen by God. We've been brought into God's family. And we need to remember that God is with us and God is for us. He will not leave us alone. God will actually go before us into our battles and our struggles when we ask him to. We also need to remember that God is so much bigger than the problems we face. And he already knows the outcome. He already knows how he's gonna work it out. But another part of getting our head right is recognizing what we're experiencing. You know, verse 9 says, "If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us." Jehoshaphat is referencing Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple, which said that the people of Israel would call out to God when they faced a calamity and they were distressed. And we also see in verse 3 that Jehoshaphat was afraid. And you know, now he's talking about being distressed. So he was really aware of and in touch with what he was feeling and what was going on for him. And just like Jehoshaphat, we need to recognize, well, what am I feeling right now? Is it fear? You know, there's some types of fear that Pastor Andrew talked about in one of his sermons last year, which are fear of something you can see, fear of something you hear, or fear of something that's imagined. Or are you feeling anxious? Some of us may not know exactly what anxiety is or how it affects us. Let me tell you the definition of anxiety. It's a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. And the medical definition is an abnormal and overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear marked by physical signs and by self-doubt about one's capacity to cope with it. So what are some situations that trigger anxiety for you? Maybe it's a performance review at work. Maybe having your in-laws come over to your house. Maybe it's speaking in public or just being in public. And if you're not sure, you can ask yourself, well, what or who do I avoid? I know there's a lot of reasons we avoid different things, but sometimes one reason is because we're anxious. And what are the signs in your body and mind that you might be feeling anxious? Is it difficult to concentrate? Do you get tired pretty easily? Do you get nauseous? Maybe does your heart race? Or maybe you get sweaty palms. These are actually just a few of the possible symptoms of anxiety, because the symptoms can be as unique as the person who has them. But to help us better understand what anxiety can feel like, and maybe to help you identify your own anxiety, let me share how one person describes it. Living with anxiety feels a lot like living on the run, except you're running away from your own life. Panic settles in your chest as you try desperately to escape to a safe place that seems just out of reach. Worries swirl around in your head at a speed that makes it hard to breathe, and fear wells up, causing indecision and self-doubt. Well, hopefully now we have a better understanding of what anxiety is, and hopefully we can see and remember that God is so much bigger than the problems that we face, and we can bring those problems to Him. And this brings us to our final get, which is get on with it. God speaks through the prophet and tells Jehoshaphat and the army to march out to face the enemy. He tells them to take up their positions and stand firm. God has already promised to fight for them and to deliver them. Basically, God will do His part, but we have to do our part. God calls us to face our anxiety by showing up and by doing the thing we feel anxious about. Something else that we see in the passage is that God often acts after we obey and after we begin doing the thing that He's called us to. I'm not 100% sure why this is, but I think it has something to do with God wanting us to trust Him and wanting us to step out in faith. When it comes to anxiety and fear, though, God may not take it away just because we ask Him to. However, He often helps us face the anxiety or the fear-provoking situation when we show up. And the more that we show up and face it with God's help, the less powerful it usually becomes. You know, when I think of the need to face fears, I think of phobias. I didn't realize just how debilitating they were until I started treating clients in my clinical practice who had phobias. And, you know, having a certain phobia can really greatly limit your life. And let me just be clear as I share this example, it doesn't come from a client or anyone that I know. But for example, if you have a fear of water, not only will this keep you from maybe swimming in a pool or in the ocean, but you might be afraid just to go somewhere near a body of water, like going to the piers in San Francisco, or maybe going on a beach vacation. And for some, it may mean avoiding movies that are about the ocean or bodies of water. And it could even lead to saying, well, I can't see a new movie that I've never seen before because what if there's a water scene in it? I don't think I could handle it. So it can really limit a person's life. And you know, at the end of the day, a person with a phobia of water, for example, isn't going to actually overcome that fear unless they slowly start exposing themselves to water. They may need a therapist or someone else to help them in that process, just like we need God to help us to face our anxieties and fears. I want to finish this sermon by providing some practical strategies to help with all the four gets that we talked about. You know, when you're about to go into an anxiety-provoking situation, or maybe when some of that anxiety still lingers, you just might need some extra strategies, even more than what we talked about, because going to God is our first our first line of offense. But sometimes God, you know, gives us some other tools so that we can also keep on learning how to calm ourselves down. And some of these suggestions Andrew's already shared, but I'm sharing them again because I think that they're really effective and important for us to know. So the first one is trying to shift your attention away from the thing that causes anxiety. Because just like humans, plants, or animals, anything we feed is gonna grow. And so if we are feeding our anxious thoughts by focusing on them, they could grow out of control. And many anxious thoughts are fed by negative self-talk. Things like, you can't do it. You'll never get it right. You'll make a fool of yourself. You're incompetent. We need to talk back to our negative self-talk. And if you struggle to believe that your negative self-talk isn't true, I encourage you to go to scripture and then use scriptural truth to talk back to that self-talk and say, you know, the things that God says about you. Another thing we can do is get some of the anxious energy out by exercising. And actually regular exercise really just helps to regulate our moods in general. It's important to get enough sleep so we have the energy to manage our anxious thoughts and feelings. And you can take deep breaths or do a breathing exercise. You can find them on YouTube or different apps. One Christian breathing and meditation app that also has reading plans on the YouVersion app is called Abide. You can journal about the things that cause anxiety so that they get out of your head, and also so that you can recognize the anxious thoughts or the negative self-talk for what they are. One final thought about strategies is that I used to feel that all these commands in the Bible, don't be afraid, don't worry, were really hard to follow. And it was only after I learned that I could bring my anxiety and fear to God, and then after I learned some strategies to calm down and manage my anxiety, that I realized, hey, I do have a choice, and I could follow God's commands to not be afraid or not to worry. I don't know what you may be feeling nervous or anxious about today. There's a lot of uncertainties we're facing right now. It might be financial, maybe something about your health or a relationship, or maybe about change that you hope will happen. Whatever it may be, I encourage and challenge you to follow Jehoshaphat's example and do the four gets. Get in God's presence, get with other people, get your head right, and get on with it. Don't let anxiety or fear have the last word. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for showing us in your word so many examples of people who were afraid or anxious, just like we are, and who came to you, God, and found the help that they needed. God, I thank you for that. And today, Lord, I lift up my brothers and sisters, everybody who's watching this video. God, you know what they're facing. You know what makes them feel afraid or what they might feel anxious about. God, I pray that you would help them, God, as they bring it to you, as they offer themselves and any fears or anxieties to you. Because God, I know you are with them. You're bigger than any fear, any situation. And I pray, God, that you would, just like your promises to Jehoshaphat, that you would also deliver them, deliver us, God, in the difficult situations we face. I pray that you would guide us today, Lord, that you would help us as we just continue seeking to live for you, God, and as we face this difficult and uncertain time. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you guys, and we look forward to seeing you soon.